What an incredible honor it is for us to be a part of your service today. My name is Chris Hodges, and I pastor an amazing church in Birmingham, Alabama. It's called Church of the Highlands. What's up, church? Come on, say hello. We love you guys so very much. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, they clap that way because it really is a great honor to be a part of this One Prayer series with you. Over 1,000 churches all participating in the exact same series. And I want you to know that that really honors the heart of the Lord. And I actually believe that it fulfills the final prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, that the church is one. And so today, there are literally thousands of churches all across not only America, but around the world that are participating in this. And I know the heart of God is pleased that his kids are getting along and doing something together. I also pray that all the things that are involved in the One Prayer series, the outreaches or the giving and the different things that are taking place with One Prayer, participate in that. Together, we're going to make a difference and, again, honor the heart of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life where you would have said, I hated life. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had a point in life where you actually said, I just really don't like my life right now? 10 years ago, I probably went through one of the darkest moments of my entire life. And I'm kind of not really a depressed kind of a guy, but I really was depressed, very depressed. And the sad reality of this time when I was really hating life is there was no reason on paper. You know, there are a lot of times where you can have everything right on the outside and there can be everything wrong on the inside. And if you've ever met someone like that, you kind of want to slap them, actually, because you think you have no reason to be depressed. You have no reason to be sad. But, you know, really, if there's anybody that should hate life, it should be these people that really have had some misfortunes in life. But the truth is, you can have everything on the outside and it can still all be wrong on the inside. Today, we're going to look at two different people in Scripture. The first person we're going to look at is Solomon, who wrote several books of the Bible. We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes in just a moment, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we're going to see a guy who had it all. In fact, he was said to be the wisest man that had ever lived. He had a lot of wives. He had a lot of money. He was the wealthiest person ever. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, in verse 17, look at this. He said, I hated life. And again, you probably would have wanted to slap Solomon for saying something like that because he had it all. But I want you to notice why. He says this. He says, I hated life because the work that is done under the sun. And that's an important phrase for you to notice. He says, the work that is done under the sun, which I'm going to show you in just a moment, was his first problem right there because all he was focused on was the work done under the sun. He says, the work done under the sun became grievous to me. Grievous. If you look it up in Webster's, it means oppressed, depressed, painful. I don't like it. It's grievous. The work that is done under the sun became grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What we're going to notice here is that really there are a lot of people in life that kind of face this whole I don't like life thing. And if you ever felt that way, there are some symptoms or there's some phrases. In fact, I want to give you three that I really feel like the Lord gave me, three little phrases to see if you've ever said these or if you identify with these. And then we're going to show you really a way that we can get out of that, way we can find a hope and that regardless of what takes place in life, you can find true fulfillment and true life regardless of what's going on the outside. But there are three little phrases. If you're taking notes today, I want you to write these down. Have you ever said, it doesn't matter? It just doesn't matter. In other words, everything that I'm doing is just, it just doesn't matter. You've actually talked yourself into believing that, man, I'm going to work, I'm paying bills, I'm doing all these things, and it just doesn't matter. Or I'm loving my kids, loving my wife, I'm trying to support people, but it just doesn't matter. I want you to notice what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He was pretty much having a bad hair day here. He said, life, verse 2, life is useless, all useless. You spend your life working, but what do you have to show for it? The world just stays the same. He had gotten to the point saying, it just doesn't matter. You know when I experienced that phrase the strongest? When I just say, you know what? It just doesn't matter. I probably feel that the most a couple of hours after Christmas Day, the kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you spend all these months, you know, when we have as many kids as Tammy and I do have, we spend several months kind of getting ready for Christmas, and we spend a lot of money on Christmas. And I think I get excited about the gifts they're going to receive. And I've even built up in my mind what I want the response to be. Have you ever done that? And then when it's not that, there's just kind of this letdown, or there's nothing like whenever you spend all this money on a particular gift, only to find them playing in the box of that gift a couple hours later. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And what you say is, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You guys that go to church here, you probably remember me telling this story. Our youngest son, Joseph, always wants something remote control. Dad, I want remote control. He always wants remote control something. And he asks every year some remote control boat, remote control car, remote control. Well, this year it was I want a remote control helicopter. I said, all right, we're going to get you a remote control helicopter. And so I got pretty fired up about this helicopter, a little double blade thing, you know. It really was cool. I flew it all around the store. You can steer that bad boy. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. I was fired up about it. I couldn't wait for him to open it so I could play with it. You know what I'm talking about? All right, so, but we got out there. We live in a cul-de-sac, you know, and so there's room in the middle, and no one ever drives in there because it's a cul-de-sac. It's a circle, you know, and so I said, Joseph, go out into the middle of the cul-de-sac, fly your helicopter. So if it gets off course, wind grabs it, it's going to land somewhere that he can get it, right? True story, I'm not lying. True story. He said, yes, sir, Daddy. I said, where are you going to go? I'm going to go out in the middle of the cul-de-sac. Where is that? And he pointed right out there. Yes, sir, Daddy. Okay, I got it. Great. I said, I'm so excited. God be my witness. 1 foot still in the house, 1 foot outside the door. He's going. He's flying the helicopter with 1 foot still in the house, on the roof. True story. So now we're getting fishing poles with lures, trying to get it hooked and pulled down. It's got the double blade thing, broke both of the blades off, completely destroyed, present gone, helicopter over. How many know it's at those moments that you think, it's not godly, but you think, I'm gonna kill him. I made five of them. I can make another one. You know, I can do this. And so you have these thoughts, but there are times in life. I just want you to file this, because every one of us are going to face those times in life where we're going to say, you know what? I just don't think it matters anymore. That's a very dangerous phrase. Second phrase I want you to write down if you're taking notes. People say it all the time, and that is, I'm tired. I'm tired. In fact, Business Week actually said that the most common response to the question, how are you doing, or what's up, is the most popular response today in America is, well, I'm tired. That's what, how you doing? I'm tired. That's how I'm doing. I'm tired. That's the most, not fine and you, that used to be the response. It's, no, I'm tired. And they did a whole article on just a generation of people who are just burning it at every end. Now, I want you to hear this. Because there is this physical tiredness that a lot of people are facing. There's this weariness that comes from just doing too much. And a lot of us are just doing too much. But there's also another kind of tiredness. And that is, I personally believe, whenever you're just doing something again, there's no meaning in it. There's no purpose in it. You're like Solomon. I mean, I'm just chasing the wind. I've got all this stuff going on under the sun. And it just seems meaningless to me. And honestly, I personally believe that burnout is not how much work you do. I think burnout comes from doing work that doesn't matter. And I want you to see this verse. You'll see it here. And it's just a sad reality of a guy who had it all, like a lot of people do. He said, the sun rises and goes down. The wind blows round and round and back again. Every river flows into the sea. Then the water returns to where the river began, and it starts all over again. And I'm just getting tired thinking about it. It's leading me to weariness. Basically, what he was saying is, here's, let's modernize it. Let's put it in 2010. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, mother grass, go to church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, mother grass, go to church. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, just, it's the routine. It's doing life and not ever connecting to purpose or fulfillment. It's meaningless. He said, just chasing after the wind. I feel grievous. I'm oppressed. I'm depressed because I'm doing all this work just under the sun. It's just this life, man. It's wearing me out. A lot of people there. Here's the third phrase. And I'm just trying to identify with what people feel. Okay, it doesn't matter. I just don't feel like it matters anymore. I mean, I could be dead and no one would notice. Or I'm just tired. And it's more than just working too hard. You're weary because you're doing things that don't matter. And then finally, I just feel like something's missing. Have you ever said that? Something's missing. Something's missing in my marriage. Something's missing in my job. Something's missing. I've been seeking God, can't find it. Something's missing. Solomon said that as well. He said it in verse 8. He said, no matter how much we see, I'm just not satisfied. I'm never satisfied. I mean, I'm seeing a lot, doing a lot, had a lot of money, a lot of wives, a lot of stuff, a lot of wisdom. Man, I'm just not satisfied. No matter how much I hear, I'm just not content. Got some great CDs, some great preaching, great stuff going on, and I'm just not content with it. And then he said this phrase, history merely repeats itself. History merely repeats itself. I mean, just something's missing. I'm missing something. Now, here's the big idea of this message, and then we're going to theme it into the one prayer focus here in just a moment. And this is the thing I want you to write down. Just put it somewhere in your notes or maybe even write it somewhere in your Bible. And that is, you will always feel that way when all you do is do the work that is just under the sun. When earth is your only reality, when you do nothing in life other than just the earth stuff, you are going to say, man, this just doesn't matter. And you ready for this? You're right. Or I'm tired. And you ready for this? You're right. You will get weary doing something that's just work under the sun. And you will say, man, something's missing. And that thing that is missing is this. And that is the only thing that will ever satisfy you is the eternal. I want you to write that down. The only thing that will ever satisfy me is the eternal. Now, I told you we were going to look at two lives. We looked at Solomon. He had it all. Smartest guy, wealthiest guy, yet he was still saying, I hate life. But I want you to notice another guy in Scripture who had the very opposite. In fact, he had some incredible misfortune in life. You know him as the guy that probably wrote more than two-thirds of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see this. In fact, I don't know if I've ever read this to the church here. I've referred to it several times. I've decided to read it to you in its entirety, all of the Apostle Paul's misfortune. He actually lists it out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what he says. He says, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That's the 39 lashes that nearly killed Jesus. Paul gets it five times. Can you imagine? He's probably just healing up from the last time, and he's just, I mean, they whipped him again, just opened up all those wounds all over again. Three times I was beaten with rods. And if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, that's those rods where they would slap the back of your thighs, the back of your legs. It had to be horrible. Three times. He says, once I was stoned. And we're not talking like this kind. We're talking like the rocks, you know. That's funny. I don't care what you say. I saw some of you out there going, well, at least he got a little relief. No, that's wrong stoned. Actually with rocks, three times. He says, three times I was shipwrecked. Now, can you imagine that? He says, I spent a night and the day in the open sea. He said, I was constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my countrymen, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city. Danger in the country. Can you get the point here? It's like no matter where I turn, I'm in trouble. I'm in danger. See, danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. And beside everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. He said, boy, I have a rough life. Yet Paul would have told you that he was one of the happiest guys alive. I just think it's so interesting that you could have a person who has it all, who can have no fulfillment, and then you can have a person who nothing goes right on the outside, yet he finds fulfillment. And again, it's found in the simple truth that he found the thing that actually matters. I've decided to entitle this message, since we have the unstoppable theme this year for One Prayer, I want to entitle this message, Unstoppable Focus. an unstoppable focus. And I want to use as a theme verse, a verse that really inspires me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. And then we're going to get very practical and show all of us how we can get there, that no matter how much goes on, you and I can have this delight, this fulfillment in life, regardless of what goes on the outside. Look in verse 16 with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. I want you to stop and just let that germinate. Let that meditate on that just for a moment. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that regardless of what goes on the outside, I mean, you could get getting beaten with rods, shipwrecked, snake bit, whipped with the 39 lashes, and still say, I don't ever lose heart. Man, I'm just so encouraged. Man, I just love my life. He was so fulfilled. It really stirs me. It really does. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, he said, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Now, I want to stop there for a moment and point out to you, there was nothing light nor momentary about his troubles. They were both hard and lasted a long time. In essence, he's really not even telling you the truth there. But to a person who had their focus on what actually matters in life, to a person whose hope, check it out, wasn't on earth things, his whole hope was on the eternal, everything that seemed so hard to you and me felt light and momentary to him. Now, I want that to be a lesson for us. I think there's something huge in that. Because I think some of us need it. I think some of us are at this place where I'm tired, I'm unfulfilled, I don't feel like life matters. And I think it's because we get too earth-sighted. We get too much focused on this, and we need this to work out to find happiness and joy in life. But to the person who has their focus on something else, an unstoppable focus, I'm telling you, it wouldn't matter what gets dished out for you. Man, you don't ever lose heart. Look what he said next, and there's a real secret here. He reveals to us a life secret that I really want to pass off to you today. He said these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that outweighs them. I'm going to stop there and point out to you that the reason why he had so much fulfillment in life, the reason why he was so happy, regardless of his external situation, regardless of all that, the reason why he was so fulfilled is because he had something else in his life that was worth living for. I want you to know, I really believe that the solution to our problems is not to even solve our problems. I think the true solution to our problems is to have something in our life bigger than our problems. He says, the reason why none of this bothers me, even though they're doing all these things to me, the reason why it never gets me down, why I never lose heart, he says, man, I just got something else that's more important to me. I want to ask you this question. How many of us, that the slightest little thing that happens in life, it just knocks us off? It ruins our day, it ruins our attitude, it ruins our family, it ruins everything, because we so desperately need everything in life to work out. But what would it be like if your hope wasn't in all that stuff? What would it be like if you really had your sights set on something that outweighed it, that was more important than that? He says, so, here's the secret, and here's the discipline that we need to do, the action steps. He says, so, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, that's a little phrase that I think could save someone's life. I think, really, if you could get to the place where your hope is not in the temporary, but it's actually in the eternal, and we could discipline ourselves to get there, I'm telling you, there's nothing that could happen to you that could steal your joy. And that is my deepest hope for you. I'm talking about an unstoppable focus on the eternal. Now, I want to give you four little action steps, and those of you guys that are watching at other churches today, these are critical for you to do if you want your focus, because the truth is, it doesn't take very long for us to get involved in earth affairs before this becomes our reality again. So I think the discipline of focusing, having this unstoppable focus, the discipline of it is critical. So there's four of them. We got to get to them quickly. Here's the first one. If you want your focus to get back right, the first thing that we need to do is pray. Pray. Because what prayer isn't just coming to God and dumping your burdens. Prayer is the process, listen closely, of changing your realities. Hopefully what happens to you is that you come to the place of prayer and you've got all this earth stuff that is so huge to you, but after you give them to God, the big things in life and the God that seems so small, all that just begins to reverse. And the God that was so small becomes so big, and the things that were so big become small. Remember the old chorus that we used to sing years ago? Sometimes we still sing it around here. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Somebody needs this today. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Hey, man, are you tired? Are you unfulfilled? It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it's a focus. It's an unstoppable focus that we need back. And I'm calling all of us back to prayer. In fact, I think America needs to come back to prayer. As Colossians chapter 3 says, it says to set our minds back on, not on the things of the earth, but on the things above. And I'm telling you, I think sometimes we get into this place of depression like I was 10 years ago, simply because we forget to get in that place of God where heaven becomes our reality, not earth. A couple years ago, in fact, it was about 2 years ago right now, my dad had surgery to remove this massive tumor on the side of his head. Some of you guys around here remember that. And they did an incision on his head that started here, went all the way down his ear, down to his jaw, pulled open his face, pulled out all the muscle and nerve. And they told us we got the cancer, but he won't talk, won't be able to eat, smile. He'll have to relearn how to do all that if he'll ever be able to do it, because we removed all the muscle and nerve. I've never been in a more oppressive moment of my life than when we sat in that little consultation room with the doctor, and he told us that news. In fact, my poor mom, she melted right there. It was just so tough for us to hear. And at that moment, that report was our reality, and it felt like a punch to the gut. In fact, I felt physically nauseous when I heard that. And I remember going into that room where my daddy lay and all these tubes coming out of his head and all this and this giant bandage on his face. And I couldn't even look at him because it just only reminded me of that reality. Man, I just laid my hands on him and prayed for him. And I'm going to tell you, in just a few seconds, the peace of God came over that room. And some of you around here know the story. The next day, he was sitting up in bed, eating, smiling, talking. The very next morning, the doctors had declared it was a medical miracle. We know what we took out of his face. Only God could have put all that back in there. It's completely impossible. Amen, everybody. Isn't that incredible? And I'm telling you, I'm just saying, some of you guys are facing some difficult times, and it's because earth is your reality right now. I'm telling you, we need to get back to the place of prayer. Here's the second focus. If you want to get focused back on the eternal so that you can not lose heart, you can have this back in your life, here's the second word, and that is serve. Serve. Now, I don't have a long time to develop this, but I want to say this, especially to those of you that are watching at other churches. Your church needs you to serve, but check it out. This is so true. You need to do it more than they need you to do it. Because the reality is, it's going to help you more than it will ever help that church. I encourage you to do it because every church would function better if everybody in the body of Christ was doing something that fits their gifts and passions. But the truth is, when you do something that is part of a team that's making a difference for eternity, you lay your head down at night thinking, that's how you live a day. And you'll notice that all the stuff that seems so big just does not matter anymore because you're doing something that is eternal. Jesus said this in John. I want you to see this. In John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils. That's our daily jobs. You know, all of us do that, right? But work also for food that endures to eternal life. I am calling you guys here at Church of the Highlands. I'm calling you guys that are watching at your churches. Do it today. Volunteer today. Get involved today. But not because the church needs you. Do it because you need it. You need it. Here's the third thing. I'm just giving you some eternal focuses that I want you to test and see if, regardless of what goes on in your life, you don't see. You'll see that no matter what happens, you just don't ever lose heart. Here's the third thing, and that is give. Give. And when I say give, I'm not talking about tithe. Because personally, I don't believe you are tithing or you are giving when you tithe, because the tithe is the Lord's. When you tithe, you're just returning to God that which is already His. But it's after that moment that you could actually live a generous life. And I want to call us to that. I want us to give to God what is God's and give it to the place where you worship, your local church, the place where you're fed. Don't even think about it. Just do that. But from that moment, look for ways to live a radically generous life. I mean, go through fast food restaurant lines, pay for the person behind you, tell the person, man, just tell them, would you please tell them just God loves them, that it's paid for. It'll change their life. We have seen people, we actually had a lady who went to a fast food restaurant line, was going to commit suicide. This was going to be her final meal. I don't know why she chose a fast food for her final meal. But she sent her email, I was getting ready to go home and commit suicide, and someone paid for my meal and gave me a little card that says, God loves you. Just a reminder. She called our office and said, it changed my life. I'm not doing it. She gave her heart to Jesus. You never know what difference it can make. I want you to see these two verses, Psalm 112, verse 9. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And they will have influence and honor. Proverbs 11:25, a generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others, hey, it doesn't just bless them, he himself will be refreshed. And you know it, those of you guys that have ever done that, you know that whenever you've just done some random act of kindness for someone, you are just living this generous life, you're just happier. It just does. I promise you, it does more for you than it'll ever do for them. And it just puts you back in tune with the eternal. I'm just talking about an unstoppable focus. It's a lifestyle of prayer to make heaven our reality, not earth. A lifestyle of serving, not because the church needs you, but they do. It'd run better with you, but it's running pretty good without you. But it would run better with you, but not for that reason. Do it because it'll change your life. Give. Just living this life of radical generosity as often as you can in ways that God blesses you. Here's the last one. Here's the last one. And that is share Christ. Share Christ. This is an absolute fact. I tell every person who comes to our membership class, I tell this little principle. And that is you will discover the day you invite an unchurched person to come be with you in that service. And when the pastor says, every head bowed and every eye closed, look, don't cheat. One eye and look and just see what they're gonna do, all right? I'm giving you permission. I mean, just one eye closed and look and just see. And when they raise their hand or whatever the protocol is at your church, whatever it is, that's what we do here. When they raise their hand to receive Christ, little tear coming down their eye, trust me, that will be one of the most meaningful days of your entire life. This past week, I told you guys this story this past Sunday in our service that I was on a Southwest Airlines flight. And the girl next to me asked me if I was a pastor. Or she asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a pastor. She goes, well, duh, all of us are passengers. I said, no, a pastor. Oh, I don't, you know. So anyway, that's kind of how the conversation went. And she just said, well, I don't like church and I don't like Christians. And I said, well, me neither. And I just identified with her, and she was shocked by that response. And I talked to her about Jesus, and I told her that I would give her a shout-out if she watched our service online. Well, guess what? She did. And in fact, yeah. So I started our service out, and I just greeted Tanya. I said, hey, Tanya, if you were watching, I gave you a shout-out. I told you I would do that, And I just shared a simple life-giving truth with her. I got an email from her, and I want to read it to you. She says, dear passenger Chris. I thought that was cute, too. Yes. She says, it was nice meeting you on flight 35 this week. I am currently watching your webcast, and I thank you for the shout-out. I've thought a lot about what you said on the plane, specifically with making my relationship with God personal. This touched me as I've been struggling with Christians that I find are opposite of what I perceive Christians should be. As a result, I've let those experiences push me away from God, and I know now how ridiculous that is. so simple, yet no one ever explained it to me that way. Thank you so much. I watched the other messages on your website, and they are very relevant to me, and I'm very thankful that I have met you. She said, I look forward to growing closer to God. I can see why your church has grown. Your teachings are relevant. Look how God's working in her life. Your teachings are relevant, personal, and touching. I think you've got a new online watcher for some time now. Thanks again, and I'm ready to surrender. Tanya. Yeah, baby. All right. One final verse. I want you to hear this in your heart. Paul said this. He says, what is our hope and our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus? He says, in other words, what fires me up more than anything else? Listen to what he said. He said, is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Look at me, church. Listen to me. One of the most beautiful things that you can do for yourself, I mean, it's important to do for others. One of the most beautiful things you can do for yourself is share Christ with someone. And that'll be the day that heaven becomes your reality. You know, every person I sit next to on a plane now I'm thinking about Tanya. I'm thinking maybe this person is away from God, and maybe we'll never have an opportunity. Maybe I'm their last chance. And can I tell you how much more real that's become to me just by sharing Christ with Tanya? I'm calling you to a life that is so fulfilling, so satisfying, that regardless of what goes on the outside, you could get beat, shipwrecked, bankrupt, whatever it is in life. But if all you have is the work under the sun, I'm going to tell you it's going to become grievous to you. But if you'll focus on the eternal, an unstoppable focus on the eternal, pray, serve, give, share Christ, I promise you, you will get to the place that regardless of what goes on, you will never lose heart. Let's pray. God, I pray for the churches that are watching right now. And I pray, first of all, for every Christian, every person in those churches, I'm asking you, God, just to let them have this unstoppable focus on the eternal. God, forgive us for getting our eyes set on earthly things. But like the Apostle Paul, today, God, we fix our eyes on the eternal, on the hope of eternity. And God, move us not just to hear it and believe it, but move us to action, I pray. To pray, to serve, to give, and to share Christ with other people. And God, let us find the fulfillment in life. Now, Lord, I pray for every person who, like Tanya, needs you. And God, lead them right now to a meaningful relationship with you, because really, you're the only one who could ever satisfy us. We love you, Lord. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.